Why is Chesterfield the club for you then?
If you go back over my career, I started, I was coaching at Blackburn Newcastle, and I went to Wrexham and I took the team on, a bit of a mess, and it took me 2.5 years to probably get them top of the league, and I learned a lot doing that. Then obviously I got a phone call from Doncaster, who hadn't won for 6 months, and I'd spent all the money and in a bit of a mess. It was a mess, and I knew it needed sorting out, and I had to cut the budget from 8 million down to 2.5. And I put a team together, and we ended up winning the league, League One. So I obviously got a call then from Wolves before I finished that job, and I walked into Wolves, who'd lost 81 games, I think, in 4 years they'd lost, and I thought I'd be able to... I was the fourth manager in the year, and I thought I'd be able to change the players. Not just a few, but a lot. And I never signed one player. I never left them with any players that I'd signed, any bad signings. And I was there 3.5 months. So I felt like I didn't have a chance there to do anything. So if you sign a load of bad players and you don't play well and lose, then as a manager you just hold your hands up and say, I've had long enough to do the job. I've signed bad players and we've lost, so I deserve the sack. But I had 3.5 months and I didn't sign. I still haven't spent a penny on a player to this day. I've never spent any money, not one pence. So I then get asked, I was on obviously gardening leave for a year, and then I get asked to do the, John Gregory's asked me and Michael Dunford to go in at Crawley and try and keep them up, and we done well to like get the points we got, and I'm disappointed that at the end it slipped through our fingers. We're 3-2 up at Peterborough with 3 minutes to go and we're safe, but I knew, you know, I took the challenge on and I knew they were struggling and they were in a, you know, there was no money there, but I knew going into the club that what do you do then? Is it my fault we went down, or is it the managers before that, or do you never take a challenge on? It's not very often you get a job where everything's going great. Brendan Rodgers went to Liverpool, and Swansea job was probably a good job to walk into for Michael Laudrup, that type of thing. But normally the club's in a bit of a mess, and I could have sat in the house and not took it on, because I knew, you know, the chances are of keeping them up is going to be difficult. But all you can do is try your best. And every time I've got a chance to start pre-season with a team, I left Wrexham top of the league, and I left Doncaster. I built my own team there, and the Wolves one was 3.5 months, and Crawley was something similar. But this club is stable, and they've got a good team that's doing well, a good squad of players, and they've got a new stadium, and the people, they didn't, as far as I know, they didn't interview anybody else, and they've looked past the circumstances. I mean, if you talk over QPR with this season, if you took over QPR with 15 games to go and you don't keep them up, then it's not a surprise.
No. So that's you and you putting your stamp on your record. The other thing is, and let's get this out of the way, then we can talk about taking Chesterfield forward. In your career, you've got Doncaster Rovers to a stage where they were looking great, and Wrexham where they were looking great, and you left before the job was done. Is this a long-term project for you?
Yeah, I want to like come into work and have a project like at Doncaster I did, but The thing is, in football, when you start doing well, somebody phones the club and you walk into another mess normally, and you have to put that right. But I wanted a project where I can get involved with the youth players, and I've just through being in a non-league in Wrexham, where I learned so much about being a manager. You know, we'd get lads released by top teams, Man City and teams like that, and they would come thinking that they could come and do the job in the Conference and League Two and whatever, and they haven't been taught the tools they need to earn a living at football. There's not many kids at Man City are going to play for Man City. I'm just making Man City as an example. There's not many, you know, the rest end up leaving and going to clubs, but because they've been trained to play in the Premier League and coached to play in the Premier League, when they need the tools to play in League One and League Two and the Conference, they haven't got it. And it's a shock for them to come to the facilities you've got when they've been at the best facilities you've ever seen in your life and being taught to play total football with the ball. When they have to, all of a sudden, when they have to roll their sleeves up at Carlisle on a Tuesday night, they're short of the basics. And I just feel like some of them kids have been cheated. You know, my lad's at Crewe, and I've left him there because of that reason. He could have gone to one of the bigger clubs, but so I'm interested in getting involved in them kids and making sure they all want to win, making sure that they all want to work hard, making sure they all want to head the ball when it comes in their area, making sure they all want to tackle. And there's basic things you've got to do as a footballer if you want to earn a living. There's not many people in Britain earn a living playing football. Loads play, millions play football. I think there's only 2,000 or 3,000 can earn money at it. If you haven't got the tools to do that, then you ain't going to earn a living. You're going to end up falling by the wayside. So I feel passionately about making sure our youth players at this club now, our youth players, our under 21 players, our under 16s, our under 15s, all know they have to do the basics. And I think all the parents would support that.
What about first team matters to begin with? That's long term. First team matters now. Do you expect, because there's a lot of players here who've done well, you've just heard the chairman say they've overachieved, that will be attracting interest from other clubs. Paul Cook may well even want to take a few down with him to Portsmouth. Are you going to be able to keep all of those? Do you have enough of a budget to say, right, 80% of this squad stays together and it's just tweaking?
Yeah, I think so. I've looked at the team and I'm going to spend the next 2 weeks watching every game they've played, even last year as well, to see how some of them players have progressed from where they were last year. So I'm going to do that, and I've got my ideas on where they're weak and where they're strong right now. And we have to keep the good bits, as I said, and try and hold on to the players that have done well, because that's another problem. You know, if your players do well, you're dictated by the amount of supporters you get. Really, the amount of support you get through the gate decides if you can offer the player what these big teams are offering them to make them stay. And if we can't, then that's when the players leave. And sometimes the players want to go to bigger clubs. So I have to make sure everybody wants to be here. Everybody wants to take the next step forward. I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to try and win the league next season, because there's teams with massive budgets in the league and there'll be teams coming down from the Championship with massive budgets. I just have to put a winning formula together to try and get us up. I managed to put that team together that won the league at Doncaster for a relatively small budget.
Now, it was interesting that season. I followed most of that season. You had big centre-halves, you had two great wingers and a couple of lads that could score goals. They play slightly differently here. Do you want to bring in your own style, or is it about maybe tweaking what's here already?
Well, I mean, you watched the team at Doncaster. We had, you know, we had some good footballers in the team and we played some great football at times. We also had a backbone of men that when we did go away from home, we won 14 games by the end of January away from home. So the team, obviously at the moment, the team's not scoring enough goals. We're not scoring enough goals from set plays. And sometimes when you play the football that you play, if you're not finishing the chances that you're making, you can leave yourself wide open against the opposition. And I can adjust that a little bit, but I want my teams to play football. And in certain leagues that you need certain style to get out of the league. To win the league, you know, Chelsea sometimes have not played brilliant football all the time, but they win. And as I said, I want the defenders to get the ball off the goalkeeper. I want the goalkeeper to play the ball to the defenders and play through the middle of the pitch. And if a team stops us doing that, we've got to have the tools to beat them another way. And if it means hurting them in other areas, we do that. I got to make sure we can do everything. We can fight against teams, we can play football against teams, and we're fitter than all the opposition.
It's a situation where, in your career, Wrexham, they had all sorts of financial problems. The Doncaster experiment has long been discussed, has it not? Wolves were in trouble, Crawley were in trouble. Chesterfield aren't in trouble. It's a different platform to be working on. Does that, in some respects, seem like a luxury?
No, I've never had a job where I've been walking into a stable situation, really. So that's what I wanted, and I know I can do the job. For example, I went into Wolves, and I was the fourth manager in the year, and there's four different groups of players there from four different managers, and you're trying to get them all together. They've just heard everything I'm saying to them. They've heard it all before. And that's why you have to clear it. When there's a losing mentality at a club, it's hard to... You know, you look at Coventry. We're like minutes away from slipping into League Two. Southampton slipped into League One. Once that ship starts sinking, no matter what manager you got in charge, it's hard to stop it, because it's an accumulation of your best players leaving, the ones who haven't left want to leave. You've got contracts, some players on peanuts, some players on massive wages. The team spirit's not right because of that. They don't feel part of the club, and the whole thing becomes a disaster. You have to clear the lot out and start again. And sometimes it's difficult when you've got players on 40 grand a week with 2 years left.
Conversely then, do you hope 80 or 90% of this lot stay? Because they're a good bunch here.
Yeah, and I know I can help them. I know I can pass things on from my career and my coaching career. I know I can help some of them and make them better players, and I've done that, and I sold 16 players from Wrexham to Premier League clubs. From Wrexham, they jumped all four divisions and ended up... Neil Taylor's an example, and Curtis Obeng went to Swansea, and Danny Ward. A lot of the players I had at Wrexham went on to do better, so I like to think I can come in and help all of them. And if you work hard for me, I forgive you for all the things you can't do, and so do the supporters. And if you don't work hard, I don't forgive you for anything. Really, I find it difficult to work with players who are lazy.
Because you're succeeding, and I've got three final questions because I know we can talk for ages. Because you're succeeding a very successful manager here, do you feel you have a job on to win those fans over?
No, I think all you can do every day is come in and try your best. And when I take a job on, I just give it everything I've got, and it becomes my life, and I'm on a mission to get it right. And if you do that, you can look in the mirror every morning, no matter what happens. I went to Crawley and I tried my best to try and keep them in the league. I knew what the consequences was if I didn't. I knew what the consequences were if I did. So I took the risk of going in there. I could have stayed in the house, but I can still look in the mirror every morning because I tried my best. And I think that's all people expect of you. I think the fans, obviously in football you've got to win. You've got to win games, but I think if the supporters know that you're trying your best, and they'll forgive you for all them things. And I'm sure that if we hit the ground running, things are quickly forgotten and we move into another chapter. And I think I just like all the fans just to give me a chance to improve the team, really.
Just finally, on Crawley, was there a pull to stay there? I mean, it was an almost a near miss from a difficult situation. You clearly had a good time down there. I don't know anything about Crawley, but how much of a pull was it for you perhaps to stay there?
Well, all the fans were brilliant to me, and I obviously wanted me to stay at the end, and the owner was... I can't thank Paul, the directors enough, the owners of the club, and Michael Dunford, who's a great man. They shown their faith in me to get me in there, and obviously they've asked me to stay next year and try and move the club forward. But I don't, you know, after speaking to them, both of them have sort of been brilliant with me, and you know, they know how far away Crawley is, and they know what the budget is and what you know, the thing that this club's all about. And I don't think I have a decision to make, really. I have to do what's right for everybody. But I'd like to thank everybody at Crawley for being so good to me, and all the supporters. You know, in different circumstances, I would have stayed and had to go and try and get them back up. But as a manager, your lifespan's not that long, and you have to make quick decisions, and you live or die by them. I've taken massive risks in my management career, and I actually feel like, I, you know, eventually if you work hard, things come right. It might take 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, but if you keep working hard, things come right.
Final question. Brian Carey and Brian Flynn have been trusted lieutenants of you previously. There is at least one of those. Brian Carey, is he coming here?
Well, without, like, I can't really speak out of turn because Brian's working for somebody else, Brian Flynn's working for somebody else, and Mal is working for somebody else, the coaches that I've had in the past. So I can't really talk about they're employed by somebody else at the moment, so it wouldn't be right of me to start talking about their employees. But if I do bring, I will be bringing my staff in. I just need to get myself in first, have a look what's at the club, have a look what I need to adjust, and then I'll have to approach the people who they're employed by properly and do things properly. I can't really stand in front of the cameras and make even mention anybody's name.